What's up, Overflow Church? Come on, is anybody glad to be in church today? Yes, yes. As Corey said, my name is Mitch. I have the joy of being a pastor of one of your Water's Edge family churches down in the inferno that is Tampa, Florida. So listen, last night my wife and I sat over here at Silver Beach and watched the sunset, and it was not like 150 degrees and like 3,000,000% humidity. Can I get an amen in the church today? Yes. However, I gotta be honest with you, in about 3 months, I'd rather be down there. But listen, you have an open invite, Redeemer City Church, Tampa, Florida. You come hang out with us in January, and you'll remember that God loves you, and it's gonna be okay, that the summer's coming. But I am really glad to be here. I also brought my wife today. You can give her some love. And just to help you get to know me a little bit, I want to show you a picture of my family. I've got two different photos for you. Here's the first one. I mean, come on. God has blessed me very much right there. But how many of you know, where are the parents at in the room? Anybody have kids? All right. Have anyone ever been a kid? You should be raising your hand right now. I saw some of you, you didn't raise your hand. Just stick with me, all right? But if you're a parent or a grandparent or any of those stages of life, or you desire to be a parent, how many of you know, like, that photo was totally staged? put that photo back up. Let me just show you that. Like, look how perfect they look. How many of you know that that's not what was going on at all? But how many of you also know that dad was the grumpiest one in the photo? Amen? Amen. All right? All right? But let me give you another photo that we took just recently. That's reality, all right? You got two of them with their eyes closed. We were like, in Tampa, the sun is so bright, and the outside of our church building is bright white. So, like, you walk out, and you're like, and so we're like, okay, on three, just open your eyes. That was their on three, open your eyes, right? So this is reality when you have kids. You know, you got two of them with their eyes closed. And then, you know, Malachi, we adopted him from Ethiopia. He's got the forearm canes there. And he was, God bless him, he's the only one who tried, right? It's the only child who tried. The other two are like, he's like, I'm going to do it. And then he's like, he's like, all right, A for effort, right? But we are really glad to be here, and I have known Joel for a long time. Don't you love Joel? He's such a great worship leader. Love him. And he's like, no, more. Yeah. But I've known Joel for a long time through our mutual friend, great friend, Travis Ray from Water's Edge Network. And so I've gotten to know Corey. Isn't Corey doing a great job? Don't you love Corey? Man. Love what God is doing here at Overflow Church, and got to meet Chad not too long ago, and just, man, I'm excited for you. I'm excited as we kind of try to figure out where is God taking his church as we come out of COVID and look to the future. And, you know, in this moment, I really believe that there's never been a time in our lifetime where the answers just aren't out there. The answers are right here. The answers are right here. Amen. And so there's never been a moment, in my opinion, where the world has needed this message from the church. They've always needed it, but they're listening. Because as we look around at the current events of our world and the events of the last 2 years, it's never been more obvious to me that the answers are not out there. But if you have a Bible, meet me in Luke chapter 14. We're gonna land there eventually. But as you think about that, have you ever seen something and asked the question, why is this here? There's this like art sculpture thing in Tampa. You can throw that up. It's a giant spoon. And there's like, I think that's supposed to be a cherry. And it's like, how many thousands of dollars did we spend to put a spoon in a lake? This is where I live. And this is like in Tampa. And I'm like, why is that there? Like, I don't get it. I do not understand. Now, listen, I'm not the most artistic person in the room, but it's a spoon. It's a huge spoon with a cherry. All right, I'm going to get off the spoon. All right. You're like, you really feel that, Pastor. It's just a spoon, bro. But let's bring it a little closer to you, right? Throw up the second picture there. The bean. I don't understand the bean either. Yeah, I hear that. Like, what's the bean for? Why is this here? Why do people travel from all over the country to touch the bean? I mean, in COVID, we wouldn't get close to each other, but how many of you know people were still touching the bean? Like, how many people have touched the bean? Don't touch the bean. Like, the bean. Did you know that it's not actually supposed to be called the bean?
No.
You didn't? Let me help you. It's supposed to be known as the gate. Does that look like a gate to you? I'm sorry. I don't understand. But why is that here? Like, why is the bean there? Why are we so enthralled with the bean? Right. Well, you know, if you do a little research, when that bean was put up, there was a reason that bean was put up. And I'm just assuming that there's a reason for the spoon. I'm sure it's not a good reason because it's a spoon with a cherry. But the bean has a reason. I did a little Google search. Why is the bean, why is the Chicago bean there? Well, here's what I found. The bean's reflective surface was inspired by liquid mercury. Did you know that? This shiny exterior reflects the people moving around the park. The lights of Michigan Avenue and the surrounding skyline and green space perfectly encapsulating the Millennial Park experience. You didn't know all that was behind the bean. The polished surface also invites visitors to touch the surface. Now we know why they touch the surface, because it's inspiring and inviting to touch the bean, giving it an interactive quality. You didn't know being interactive was a quality. The reflection of the sky above the park, not to mention the curved underside of the bean, serves as an entrance that visitors can walk under to enter the park, inspired the sculpture's creator to name the piece Cloud Gate. Now you know. That's it. The bean is the gate to Millennium Park. It makes a little more sense to me now. It makes a little more sense. Can we turn that question to you and I today, though?
Yeah.
Why are you here? Yeah. Why are we here? Why is Overflow Church here? Like right here in this moment, for this time, in this culture, in this part of the world. Why is Overflow Church right here in this critical moment in history? That's an overwhelming question. That's a daunting question if you do it in your own power. But I want to answer that question in this way. You're here to make a difference. You're here to make a difference right here. Not to change the whole world. That's God's business. And there are churches all over the world making a difference for Jesus. But Overflow Church is right here in this community, in this moment in history, at this time, for a purpose. And if it does seem overwhelming, and maybe you're sitting there going, I've heard this before. Maybe you just don't believe me. That's fine. But I can tell you need a verse. Somebody say, I need a verse. Pastor, I need a verse for that, because I don't know if you've known, but we've been in a pandemic for the last year and a half. And in Tampa, we were like exiting that in June. We were feeling good. Numbers were going down. It was great. Everybody took their mask off. It was amazing. And then we took like three steps backwards. Now our numbers are high again. And everybody's like, whoa, what? Three steps forward, five steps backward. It's like, have you been around in this world right now? What do you mean I'm here to make a difference? Let me read you a couple of verses. You just went through this summer, the book of Philippians. Do you remember it?
Yes.
Here's what Philippians 3, 13 and 14 says. I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do. Listen, buddy, I don't know everything, but here's one thing I know. I'm going to forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Come on. Let's go a little farther for Philippians 4, 11 to 13. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in which situation? Whatever situation, even a pandemic, that I can be what? Content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound in any and every. Is there room for any other every? In every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. But how many of you know I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? What is that thing? What is the thing that you need the strength of Christ to do here in Benton Harbor, in St. Joseph, for the glory of God and the coming of his kingdom? You see, because Jesus taught us to pray not for something that was going to happen in the future, but to bring that future thing here and now. What did he say? He said, pray that your kingdom would come on earth just as it is in heaven. I think too many of us are focused on what's going to happen over there instead of bringing over there down here. Why do I need the strength of Christ? Because you can't do that. That's the thing, is you and I can't manufacture that. We need something outside of ourselves to pass through ourselves to make that difference. Listen to what Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says. But you might receive power. Is that what it says? That's not what it says. What does it say? But you will receive power. What? Power. The Greek word there is dynamite. Power. Dynamite. What kind of difference does the gospel make in a city? Dynamite. Power. Right? So listen to it. It says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You can't make this up. You can't manufacture this. This is found in the power of the Holy Spirit that God chooses to place in his people. It's huge. And it's not just for the heck of it. God's not doling out his power for no reason. Right? What does he say? Here's your power. Here's my power. It's going to come on you, Overflow Church. To do what? And you potentially might be my witness. It's not what it says. What does it say? And you, again, will. You will be my witness in Jerusalem and Judea to the uttermost part of the earth. Incredible. We probably know that, though, don't we? If you've been in church for any length of time. If you're new to church, you're like, let's go, right? It's like you're like a new Christian. You got that, like, let's do this. But if you grew up in church like I did, and you've been in church for decades, you've heard that. You've heard that. I have a verse for you too. A verse for me. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And let us not grow weary of doing good. Anybody feel weary in this season of life? Yeah, we do. Come on, we can be real in church. If you can't be real here, where can you be real? We feel weary sometimes. We might feel weary right now. Paul told his friends in Galatia, let's not grow weary of doing good. Why? Because in due season, you will reap if you do not what?
Give up.
Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't grow weary. What is doing good? It's making a difference. Being Christ's witness in this moment, in this time, in your sphere of influence. Not somebody else's. Just look around you at work, at home, in your neighborhood, and who needs Jesus? Well, everybody needs Jesus. I read you all of that because I need you to feel it. I need you to know that the God of the universe, who hung the stars in the sky, who put the sun where it is when it sets over Lake Michigan, that God loves this city. He loves the Twin Cities. He wants people to be set free in the Twin Cities. Your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers, your family for Jesus. Don't you love that it wasn't a maybe in Acts 1 verse 8? Don't you love that it says, he will, you will be my witness? Somebody lift up your voice and say, he will. He will. Come on. We're here for Benton Harbor. We're here for St. Joseph. We're here for Jesus to bring his kingdom to Benton Harbor and St. Joseph as it is in heaven. That's the vision that we're after, right? Your vision as a church is to bring shalom, a totally altogether different vision of life for the people of this city than what they are currently experiencing. Shalom, human flourishing, only found in Jesus. And so your mission then as a church says, we're here to reach all people. Yes. Amen? Yes. That's why Overflow is here. And so that is what we're after. But listen, this is not all hype either. I didn't come here from Tampa just to get you riled up and then for you to go home tomorrow and forget about it. Right? It's not all hype, because here's the deal. This is actually the heart of your God. This is who God is. This is why we're here. And so I want to land the plane with you in Luke chapter 14 and just walk briefly through this story with you, because it opens the window. In fact, it doesn't just crack the window into God's heart. It opens it completely so that you and I can look in and see who God is and why we're here. So Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 12. Just the first few verses here as we get started. He says, he said to the man, so this is Jesus, all right? He's with a group of people. They're religious people, and they don't get it. How many of you know sometimes religious people, we don't get it, right? We've been doing this for a long time. We have the things we like. Don't sit in my seat. Am I stepping on toes, anybody? Now don't... I'm not sitting in the front two rows, Pastor. Now I'm just telling you my... Okay, I'm moving on. Says, he said to the man, so he's in this religious setting, who had invited him. So we're getting details here. He's at somebody's house. They've invited him over for dinner, a banquet. And here's what Jesus says. He says, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors. Come on. Lest they also invite you and you will be repaid. All right? You get that? But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Then, verse 14, you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. How many of you know that the blessing and repayment of Jesus is going to be better than anything that this world can repay us? We don't always believe that, though, do we? Sometimes it's nice to have all your bills paid. Sometimes it's nice and you can fill in the blank. So we get it, but Jesus is starting to paint this different picture of what it looks like to be in the kingdom of God. And so he's sharing that. But as he begins to open that window, if you're taking notes today, I want you to write three things down, okay? And these are not going to be on the screen. I just want you to think about them. I want you to just write it down, food for thought. But the first one is this. When it comes to the kingdom, we're made for community. When it comes to the kingdom of God, we're made for community. Don't you notice some of these little things in the text are super important? It doesn't say you need to throw a party and invite the poor, the lame, and the blind, and the crippled. That's not what it says. What does it say? It says, when you throw your party, we're made for community. Even the world outside of the church is made for community, right? I was watching a Liverpool soccer football game yesterday on TV, and it's amazing to me how many people were in the stands, A, because of COVID. I was like, oh, they're going to get it. There was like 75,000 people. But if you know anything about English Premier League soccer, at the beginning of every Liverpool game, that home crowd in unison, all 75,000 of them, sing this song, You'll Never Walk Alone. And it was impressive. It was amazing. But you know what that is? That's worship. That's misguided worship. We're all worshiping, and they're finding their community around a soccer team. Now, so do I. Happen to be a Liverpool fan. But that's not going to satisfy the deepest longings of our soul, is it? So we're made for community, and Jesus doesn't say you need to throw a party or throw a banquet. He's saying when you throw a banquet, you need to throw your banquet, you need to have your party, you need to have your community in this way. That the heart of God is not after just what benefits us. Why do you bring school supplies? Because it's the heart of God. Why do you have food trucks here and give away food and ask people to come in and invite them in and invite your neighbors? Because it's the heart of God. Why do we tithe to a church? Because it's the heart of God. Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is, right? And he gave us our best when we were at our worst in Jesus. And so this is the picture that he's painting, is that when Jesus comes into your life and the Holy Spirit lives within you, you can begin to look with Jesus at the world instead of looking at the world, because there's this temptation in all of the unrest and turmoil, whether it be an election season or a pandemic season or a mask season or a no mask season or a vaccine season or a no vaccine season, and we get hit with these things. We're tempted to just watch the news and get the details, even though we're not sure they're the details. And we're tempted to rely on that. And we begin to get a different vision than Jesus ever had for his people. So if we're filled with the Spirit, we're going to begin to look with Jesus the way he sees people. I mean, think about it. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus shared his own mission statement. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. Listen, how many of you know if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit on him to do his ministry? Don't you know that you need the Holy Spirit on you to do your ministry and fulfill your calling and to make a difference right here in your city? If Jesus did, we did. Can you imagine being one of those 12 disciples when Jesus looked at them and said, it's going to be better for you if I go away? Like, what? Come on, man. That's a good one. Like, you're God and you're right here. How's it going to be better if you go away? Like, it's not. But why could he say that? Because he was going to send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was going to come on them with power. And here we are today. We're literally right here today because the Holy Spirit came on with power to those 120 people in the upper room some 2,000 years ago. That's incredible. That's a move of God. And so we want that here. But why is that hard? Because we have a sin nature, right? It's hard because our sin nature messes with us. And we're prone to watch the news. We're prone to do these things and this and that and the other. And we're prone to start making decisions based on how we feel instead of what God said. And so we have to be careful. And how many of you know, you ever been to a party? How many of you know there's always that guy at the party? You know what I'm talking about? You know who I'm talking about? That guy. He's loud. He's a know-it-all. He's that guy. That guy was at the banquet Jesus was at too. This was a religious banquet, by the way. This was a religious party. These were religious people. And that guy was still there. Look at verse 15. If you don't think the Bible's funny, you're just reading it wrong. Because listen, Jesus just shared a teaching. And it was a good teaching. Can I get an amen in church today? He's like, when you have a party or you throw a banquet, man, don't just invite your rich friends. You need to think like Jesus thinks. He's setting the table here. He's saying, you need to invite the poor, the crippled, the blind. You need to love people the way God loves people. He's reminding them of that. And then look at verse 15. This guy who was reclining at the table, verse 15. I could just see it, right? He just chilling, listening to Jesus. Good word, preacher. Let me fill in the gap here for you. Here's what he says. When one of those who reclined at table with him heard these things, he said to him, you can hear it. You can just hear it from that guy. You just hear it. Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Like Jesus didn't know that? Really? That wasn't the point, right? We know. We know because Jesus just said that, didn't he? He said, if you invite this person, then you'll be blessed because you can't be repaid. So Jesus just said that, and this guy leans back and church answer, right? But that's the danger, isn't it? Because we know. We already know. Well, the question is, are we living out what we know? And so Jesus launches into the rest of the story here, and it's in this that we see him throw open the window and we can look into what God's heart for his people is. And so let's do that. So here we are in verse 16, and here's what the scripture says. This is Jesus speaking. It says, but he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. So this is the invitation. This is the party invitation. It goes out. They're in a community. And so he sends his servants out to invite the people. Now's the time to come. Everything's ready for you. But look at this in verse 18. Jesus is talking to church people now. He's talking to religious people now. Here's what he says. They all began to make what? Excuses. They all began to make excuses. The first said to him, I've bought a field. I must go out and see it. I mean, talk about lame excuses. Man, I bought this piece of property. I got to go see it. You didn't see that property before you bought it? Come on. Get out of here. You can do better than that. Listen, if you can't come to church next week, you can do better than that. Like, I bought this field. I got to go mow it. Come on. It gets worse. Verse 19. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I have to examine them. All right. You do you. Please have me excused. Man, how do you know it gets even worse? Verse 20. I know where the wives are at in here. Here's verse 20. And another said, this is a guy speaking, of course. I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. How are you going to blame it on your wife? Where are the wives at in here? It's your fault. It's in the Bible. It's biblical. It's what it says. Terrible. That's messed up. It's my wife, man. Can't come. Gonna be late. Oh, it's terrible. It's really terrible. So the servant, verse 21, came and reported these things to his master. Just like get the picture there. If you're writing, if you're taking notes, number two, we, not just the people in the story, we are prone to make excuses, aren't we? Can we be honest about that today? Can we be honest about that in church? Sometimes it's just easier to do the easy road, isn't it? Man, to look around and be like, in this time, in this moment, just kind of lay low, just kind of lay back. But that's not the kingdom of God. That's not the kingdom of God. There, I'm making fun of this, but if you do a little research on Jewish culture, those excuses would have been the same excuses that they gave and would have been valid reasons to not be called into the army. So if you were a young man or a middle-aged man who was fit for service in the army, they would come and tell you you are being drafted into the army and you're going to go serve your country. And there were certain valid excuses as to why they wouldn't have to go to the army, which makes these sound a little bit better, right? I don't know about the wife one, or maybe it does. Maybe he's being nice to his wife. I'm not going to go serve in the army. We just got married. Got to figure that out. It's a little better. It's a little better. It's not a lot of it better. It's just a little bit better. But here's the reality. Jesus is telling these guys, these religious folk sitting in the room, that the same excuses you would give your government aren't valid excuses in the kingdom. Yeah. And that's a tough word for us right now. Yeah. But here's the deal. It's in this moment that the church has the answer to the deepest desires of the human heart. Yes. The vision of this church is to amplify what? Shalom. Yeah. Human flourishing. What does it look like for the people of God to amplify Jesus' vision of human flourishing in this moment? What a question. The kingdom of God is open to all. And yet, Jesus said when he was on this earth that narrow is the road that leads to life and few find it. Broad is the road that leads to destruction and many find it. And so, frankly, in verse 21, it's angering to the master throwing the party. Look at what the rest of verse 21 says. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. And then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. It's maddening to the master as he looks at the people that he invited into the party. And listen, this is a parable for the kingdom of God. It's maddening to the master, not as in he's angry at you, but he's mad about the excuses that we make. He's not mad here at the people out in the world, out in the culture. He's upset with our attitude in the house. That those of us who know the answer won't share the answer. What is his call to those of us in the family, in the kingdom? What do we do with this invitation? What do we do with this great treasure? Look at how this little section ends. Verse 22, and the servant said, sir, what you've already commanded has been done, and still there is room. Listen, can I just bring this to us? Like, look around. There's room. There's room. There's room here. And so what does Jesus turn? What does the master turn and say? Verse 23, and the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and what? Compel people. I love that word. Compel people to come in. Why? That my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who are invited shall taste my banquet. They don't need me. If they don't need me, they don't have to have me. This isn't a robotic thing where God makes us do the thing. This is a relationship where the God says, if you will yoke with me, my Holy Spirit will come on you with great power to be my witness right here in Benton Harbor in St. Joe. Right here. We're prone to make excuses, though. But number three, if you're writing things down, when it comes to the kingdom, God loves a full house. God loves a full house. The scripture says that Jesus is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. We all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. We love that verse. It's the most famous verse in the Bible. How many of us know 17? For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. A lot of Christians out there condemning the world. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. What does it say? It says that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's it. So when it comes to the kingdom, Jesus wants a full house. So the three things there, right, are go. The first choice we have to make is stop navel gazing and go. We got to go. Like, time is now. We got to go. We have to mobilize. We have to do what God's called us to do. And then what's it say? Go quickly. Don't you love that? Quickly. Put some energy in it. We got to be passionate about people because Jesus is. I love that. Don't waste time. Do you ever have a conversation with someone in your head before you actually go have the conversation with them? Yeah. I'm so bad at that. I like have this person mad at me and we're struggling. And then I go in there like, hey, what's up, pastor? Like, thought we were going to have one here. No, they were fine. You have problems. Listen, sometimes it's just time for us to go have the conversations. Yeah. It's time for us to look with Jesus at the world. And when we see somebody who clearly is in need, to enter into that the way Jesus would enter into that. And if we had time, we could talk about the woman at the well. If we had time, we could talk about the prodigal son. If we had time, we could talk about the older brother in the prodigal son story. We could keep going. And then it says, compel. Let's get bold. Let's pray specific prayers for specific people and have specific conversations that we know we should be having. Because what did Jesus say? He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. In Galatians 6:9, it says, don't grow weary in doing good. Don't grow weary in sharing your faith. Don't grow weary in inviting somebody to church. Why? Because the harvest is coming if you what? Won't give up. So let's bring it full circle. Let's go back to where we started. Why are you here? I mean, like, right here at Overflow Church. Why are we here? Why the Twin Cities at this moment? Because your vision is to amplify shalom and reach all people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why you're here. That's why Overflow Church is here. The time is now. And there's never been a better moment to give a different version of shalom than the one the world is looking at. Now is the time. And you have the message. It's time for compelling. It's time to be bold and specific as you engage your family, your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors, people in the grocery store. Shalom, human flourishing. Man, Are you picking up what I'm laying down?
Yeah.
It's time.
Yeah.
It's time. Why don't you stand with me? I want to pray over you. And the band's going to come up. They're going to lead us in another song here. But listen, it's not enough for us to just do the religious thing. You and I, we know what we're supposed to do. We do. But you are not going to do that on your own. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to come on you so that you can be his witness in Benton Harbor, in St. Joe. You need the Holy Spirit power of God. But I want you to do two things today, if you're willing. Are you willing? Say, I'm willing. Just declare that over your life. I'm willing. I'm willing to be used by God. In this moment, as the band plays, I want to encourage you to just do business with God in your heart. If you want to come up here and pray, we'd love to pray with you. You just want to come up and kneel before the altar just as a physical sign. You know, in Scripture, all over Scripture, there are different postures of prayer. Sometimes we just need to, do something different and engage with what the Holy Spirit's doing. So whatever that looks like for you, why don't you just take a moment in the quietness of your heart to do business with the Holy Spirit. So just surrender to Him. Just surrender to what He's doing in your heart, in your family, in your work, whatever that looks like. Only you can answer that as He speaks to you. But then the second thing I want you to do is I want you to write a name down. Get your phone out, write it in your Bible, whatever that looks like. If you're watching online, write it down. Put it on a post-it note on your mirror. Do whatever it is. Put a 3x5 card in your pocket so that every time you put your hand in your pocket, you hit that card and you remember the name. Because you see, Jesus came for people. And it's not just a flurry of activity that God's after. God loves your neighbor. God loves your family member. God loves your coworker. God loves that cashier at Meijer. God loves these people. Jesus stepped out of the splendors of heaven and came to this earth to do what nobody could do for themselves. You want to know what the difference is between Christianity and every other religion in the world is? That the God of the universe didn't call you to rise to Him, but He saw that you couldn't, and He stepped out and He came for you. That's the difference. We have something different to offer the world. It's time for us to surrender to the Holy Spirit and get out in the hedges and highways of our city and compel people to come in so that the house of God may be full, that His kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. Come on, will you pray that with me? Let's pray and then let's sing this out. God, thank You for Your goodness. I pray that every person within the sound of my voice in the room and online who might watch this later, or listen to a podcast or whatever, wherever they find this, that Your word, Holy Spirit, would take root in our heart, that You would bring names to mind, faces to mind that need You. And would You fill us with Your power to be Your witness? Would You fill this place up? Would You fill Overflow Church to the brim with people that need You? Father, the real truth is we're all the crippled, the lame, the blind. That's the truth. We're all that person. We're all beggars who are telling other people, other beggars, where to find bread. Would You do that in this church and in this place and in our hearts? If you agree with that, lift up your voice and say amen. Let's sing this out.